Thank you for joining us for worship today. Merry Christmas.
Please stand. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church. This is the third Sunday in Advent. Welcome to all of you who are here and all of you who are watching this at home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and it is wonderful to have all of you here. This third Sunday in Advent is the Sunday of joy. So you might have noticed up here on the Advent wreath, Thomas has lit for us the pink-colored, or if you want to be technical, the rose-colored candle. and that is the candle of joy. So we're getting closer and closer to Christmas, and that joy of Christmas is right on the horizon. And yes, Advent is a penitential season, but in the middle of that darkness, we can start to see the sun rise. And that day of Christmas is coming very, very soon. And so traditionally, this third Sunday in Advent is a very joyful Sunday, and that is going to be the case here as well. So today for our worship, we are going to follow Divine Service Setting 1, and it's all printed for you there in your bulletin. We begin, as we always do, with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are, by nature, sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak the words of the intro responsively. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Yes, the Lord will give what is good. Righteousness will go before him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. During the Advent season, rather than singing our hymn of praise, today we will sing an Advent canticle, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Please remain standing. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the third Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning with verses 1 through 4, and then proceeding on to verse 8. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the gradual responsibly. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. And having heard the word of God, we now join together with millions of Christians around the world to speak our common Christian faith. And this morning, we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. The sermon hymn today is "Joy to the World." Grace, mercy, peace, and joy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is the very end of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, and as he kind of wraps up this letter, he gives them this list of short little invitations, encouragements to basically do what Christians do. And as he does this, it's sort of a rapid fire kind of thing, and it sort of forms a little bit of a rhythm. So you can kind of think of it almost like a drum beat that kind of goes throughout the life of a Christian, which, God willing, it will go until the last day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the greatest gifts of God also happens to be one of the most powerful and one of the most influential in our lives, and that happens to be the gift of music. Music has a way of, well, literally setting the tone for our lives, and it has this ability to sort of evoke emotion and set a mood, right, in a way that maybe traditional just words and actions can't really do. Music has this extra kind of power to it. So when we sing a sermon hymn like the one that we just sang, when we sing Joy to the World, it probably doesn't take a lot of detective work to figure out what I as a pastor am trying to do as I choose that as the sermon hymn, right? That I'm trying to evoke an emotion of joy. This is the joyful Sunday like we talked about, right? The third Sunday in Advent, we got the pink candle, the rose-colored candle. We have it lit today. So this is all about joy. I'm trying to get you ready to hear something joyful. That's why I would choose a hymn like that. My guess is, though, like most normal people, you're probably not always consciously thinking about, you know, what the music you're hearing in your world is sort of preparing you for, right? You're not always consciously thinking about, you know, what am I supposed to expect just because I've heard a particular piece of music. But I would say, even though this is something that our brains normally process in the background, I would say this is something that you would definitely notice if it didn't match up, right? Like if the music that you're hearing doesn't match up with the experience that you're having. So again, you know, we just sang Joy to the World. Imagine if we had finished up that last stanza, you know, we're singing, you know, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and, you know, you get that warm, fuzzy, nostalgic Christmas spirit feeling within you, you know, and you kind of catch yourself smiling, even if you're wearing a mask and I can't see it, you're still smiling, right, because you're ready for Christmas. But then imagine if I got up here in the pulpit immediately afterwards and I started launching into this tirade, this fire and brimstone tirade against sin and hell and the devil and your sister's ugly too. Probably wouldn't quite match up, right? It probably would be a little bit jarring, not exactly what you're expecting on a day like today. The music has to fit the mood. And on the flip side, you know, there's a reason why we sing Joy to the World today, but we're not singing something like Go to Dark Gethsemane, right? Or Were You There When They Crucified My Lord? Not that there's anything wrong with those songs. In fact, I really like those songs, but they don't fit the theme today. They don't fit the mood of Advent and Christmas joy. Now, you could say that what we're talking about here actually goes beyond just worship, too, right? It goes beyond sermon hymns and the songs that we sing in church. If you think about it, really, there's a soundtrack to our entire lives. Different things that you do, you expect to hear certain kinds of sounds, certain kinds of music, if you will, right? And as your circumstances change, you would expect the music to change, too. So let's just say, for example, that you go out to have a nice fancy dinner at a restaurant, you know, back when people used to do stuff like that, and maybe if there's a vaccine that comes soon, maybe people will go out to eat at restaurants again. But let's just say you go out to eat, you expect to hear a certain kind of dinner music, right? There's certain kinds of music that are appropriate for that setting. Maybe something with some soft piano, maybe something a little jazzy, right? If you go to the store or if you're sitting in the waiting room at the doctor, you expect maybe a completely different kind of music, maybe some light pop and rock hits or something like that, right? If you're getting ready to exercise, you go to the gym, you want something that's going to pump you up, you want something that's going to be a little bit more energetic and upbeat, right? Something that's going to give you energy. Maybe some of you have gotten into the car and taken your family up to Carlisle to go and see the Christmas lights this season, you know, that they have in the park there. And when you go to Carlisle to look at the lights, they have that sign right in the beginning that tells you they want you to tune your radio to a certain station because they want you to listen to the Christmas music that they have playing, right? Because that's what sets the appropriate mood for all the things that you're looking at. I mean, don't get me wrong, you could drive through that light display blaring your favorite Van Halen album, but I think people would probably look at you kind of funny, right? Have you ever noticed, though, the thing about the music that tends to really affect us, or at least affect the way that we feel about it, it tends to be the drum beat, the percussion in the background, right? A lot of times that in and of itself is what evokes emotion, because the drum beat is kind of like the heartbeat, right? So if it beats fast or it beats slow, or if it's loud or if it's soft, that kind of changes the way that we might feel about a particular piece of music. I actually brought with me a few different examples of the way different drum beats can affect the way we feel. And I want you to listen to these. So now the first one I'm going to play, it's a little bit hard to hear, it's a little bit muffled, and it's only 10 seconds long, so you got to listen real close. But I played it earlier before the church service started, and somebody was actually able to recognize where this came from. So I'm curious if you're going to be able to recognize it too, some of you. Here we go. Does anybody recognize that drum beat? Anybody at all? No? You do? No, it's not a sonogram. That's a good guess. You're going to start rumors here, Deb, don't it? No, that, do you know what it is? Yeah, that's JFK's funeral. So those were the drums that were playing in procession, November 25th, 1963, and the clacking that you hear in the background, that's the horse hooves on the road there. But that steady drum beat, for a lot of people, they remember that so vividly. It calls back to mind the sadness of that tragedy of JFK's assassination. All right, here's another one for people who weren't alive in 63. Timmy's got it right away. I'm sorry, I just had to, okay? Right? So that's obviously, that's the Imperial theme from Star Wars. So you hear that particular drum beat, right? Dun, 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 right? And it just, it makes you feel that fear, that anxiety that comes because you know Darth Vader is on his way, right? All right, now for something completely different.
They told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum.
Right? So that is a completely different kind of drum beat too, right? And you hear that, and it's not just the actual drums that you hear in the background, but it's also, I mean, let's just be honest, it's Bing Crosby's voice, right? What kind of feelings do you get when you hear that? You hear that and you feel joyful, right? You get that warm, fuzzy feeling that I was talking about that I mentioned with Joy to the World earlier. Maybe a feeling of nostalgia, too. Okay, now, I promise I have a point that is going to relate to the scripture reading for today. And we're going to look at this epistle from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we're going to dive into this here. This is a short reading, but there's a whole lot that's packed into this. And kind of like I said before, you know, Paul is ending his letter by giving the Thessalonians these short little encouragements, right? And it starts to almost sound like a rhythm when you're reading it. Any one of these things is so important. We could have a whole sermon based on that, right? You could base a sermon just on rejoice always, right? Or just on pray without ceasing, or give thanks in all circumstances, right? You could preach a sermon on any one of those little phrases. But these are the kinds of things that collectively should be underlying and setting the tone for our entire lives as Christians. And last year, our school was really on top of this, because last year, these were the verses, these were the theme verses for our school here at Trinity Lutheran. But you have rejoicing, you have praying, you have given thanks. This is the soundtrack that is playing wherever we go and whatever we do as Christians. This is the constant drumbeat that helps us to tap our toes, puts a pep in our step, right? These are the things. And the reason why Paul uses words like always and without ceasing, that's supposed to help us remember that these are things that the Holy Spirit is doing within us from the very moment that we first come to faith, when he comes into our hearts through the power of holy baptism, and all the way through our lives until we are graciously removed from this world of darkness and brought into heaven. It's just like hearing the little drummer boy over and over again. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum, on and over again. But, that being said, it's also kind of like the little drummer boy in another way, too. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to actually analyze the words of that song and think about what it's really saying, but the first part of that song is all about how this little drummer boy is really kind of unsure that his drumming actually fits the situation he's found himself in. So the story is, this obviously does not come from Scripture, but the story of the song is that the wise men, the magi, who came to see the baby Jesus, they may have brought with them a little boy. And this boy would be just poor and unable to give Jesus any fancy gifts like gold and frankincense and myrrh, so his gift is the drumming. But because drumming doesn't seem as fancy as the other gifts, he's kind of not sure if he should really be drumming at all. He's not sure if that's really going to fit in. Now, I don't mean to overanalyze a simple Christmas song or to stretch this metaphor so thin that it completely ruins it, but I do think that there are times when we have that Christian drumbeat of rejoicing and praying and giving thanks, and yet because of certain situations that we're facing in our life, we feel like maybe that drumbeat doesn't actually match the situation that I'm in. And maybe it's not appropriate to be joyful, or not appropriate to pray, or not appropriate to give thanks, considering how terrible life can be at times. And maybe that's how you're feeling during this holiday season, right? Especially this year. Maybe there are things that are going on in your life that make you feel like you don't want to have something so upbeat right now. You don't want to be told that you have to have Christmas joy. You don't want to be told that you've got to, you know, write your Christmas cards and bake your Christmas cookies and say ho, ho, ho and sing your Christmas carols. Maybe you're just not feeling it. Maybe there's a cloud that's hanging over your head because of something going on in your life. And you know, if that's the way you're feeling, you're certainly not alone. Maybe the last thing you want to hear Paul tell you in this epistle reading today is that you've got to rejoice always when you're feeling a little sad. Or that you've got to pray in all circumstances, even when it feels like you've been praying ceaselessly and you're not hearing what you want to hear from God as an answer. Or that you need to give thanks when you're not feeling very thankful. These are things that a lot of people tend to feel at this time of the year because of all kinds of things that are going on in our lives. But I want to remind you of how the Little Drummer Boy song ends. Because right toward the end of the song, Mary nodded, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. So she gives approval to the little boy's drumming. The ox and the lamb keep time, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. But then the most important thing, Jesus, the baby, smiles at the little drummer boy. And I want to sort of relate that to what Paul says here in verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So the message is clear. Our Heavenly Father transforms our lives so that His soundtrack matches our life. He actually makes us holy and perfect and blameless so that our heartbeat beats in the same rhythm as His drumbeat. There isn't a single person who on their own would be able to do these things, to pray, to rejoice, to give thanks always and constantly. But it's Jesus Christ who smiles at us. It's Jesus Christ who takes our poor and worthless offerings and transforms them into something more valuable than gold, into the fruits of the Spirit, which come only from hearts of faith. And as this little child, born for you and for me, grows up to fulfill the purposes for which he was sent, as he approaches the cross, the devil would love for us to hear nothing but those really sad and anxious kinds of drumbeats. The devil would love us to hear something like JFK's funeral or the Imperial March. And yet, it's the promise of the resurrection. It's the hope of eternal life that keeps us joyful even when the world around us is dark. Jesus died for you. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And then burst from the tomb, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. So now we hope in him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Because we're free from sin, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Over and over, on and on, forever and ever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In our prayers today, there are a number of updates for you. Listed under care facilities, we've been praying for Ronnie Jolliffe, who is still recovering from his recent stroke. However, we received word yesterday that he is now back home. He'll be continuing his outpatient rehab, but he is no longer in a care facility at this time. Also, under hospitalized, we are praying for Janelle Small. She spent most of last week in the hospital. But she is also now back home. She was experiencing various complications from a recent gallbladder surgery. Then she had a bad reaction to some medication, actually caused her to have a heart attack. She's not out of the woods yet, but she's doing a whole lot better. And like I said, she is home. So please keep her in your personal prayers. Under ongoing health needs, we will be remembering in prayer Amy Hafford, who continues to fight cancer. She has another scan tomorrow, so we'll be specifically praying for good test results for her. We also are including Jean Sargent. That is the cousin of Carol Wiest, Hank Reeder, and Dee Howe. Jean is fighting cancer, specifically breast cancer. And we'll also be including Reba Deek. She is the grandmother of Frankie Warren. She is 96 years old, but has been recently diagnosed with COVID-19, so she certainly is in need of our prayer. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Keep your saints from every evil that would turn them from your words of peace. Lord, in your mercy. You sent John to proclaim the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Richly and daily forgive our sins and the sins of all believers. Bless Matt Harrison, our Synod President, Tim Schar, our District President, Tim Miller, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors in Christ. Gather and preserve your holy Christian church by your voice, and send us faithful preachers who will not deny but confess your truth. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie, serving your people in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Messiah Lutheran in Carlisle, and their pastor, Scott Shilby. Lord, in your mercy, give wisdom and success to our nation. If it be your will, grant us favorable weather and safety for those who work in the fields. Behold in mercy all who are in authority over us, and those who have been newly elected. Preserve our land and its citizens in peace and harmony, and protect all who serve in harm's way, especially those who are members of the military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Isaiah, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father, be the source of strength and comfort in every home. Bless the children of our families, that every darkness would be lightened by your Son's gracious visitation. Sanctify them completely, that their whole spirit, soul, and body may be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless those whose birthdays are this week, including Jace, Gary, Mary Beth, Luella, and Richard. Remind them of your grace and favor daily. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks in every circumstance for your kindness in Christ Jesus and the certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life with him. We pray especially for those who are on our congregation's prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Eddie, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, Sam, Brian, Bob, and Betty. We lift before your throne Cheryl, who is recovering from recent surgery, Janelle, who is now home but continues to be treated after her gallbladder complications, and those with ongoing health needs, including Deb, Beulah, Amy, Janet, Alma, Laverne, Carlene, Richard, Teddy, Verdell, Leon, Marvin, Linda, Daryl, Todd, Matthew, Jean, Reba, Ronnie, all those who are fighting cancer, all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. We also lift before you those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We continue to pray for the family and friends of Richard Hoogie, whose funeral was this past Thursday. Give them peace and comfort as they look forward to the day when they will be reunited in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to, if you brought a tithe or offering with you today, to place those in the receptacle in the narthex on your way out of worship. But we will sing an offertory hymn at this time, which will be, O Come All Ye Faithful. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn today is Jesus Came, the Heavens Adoring. At this time, we will dismiss our Sunday school students to go over to the school, find your teachers. Good morning. Just a reminder for those of you who may not have been here last week or missed the announcement, I will not be heading to the back to greet folks after the service today. and that's just in response to the rising COVID numbers in the area. We're trying to avoid any congregating in the back. However, I'm not trying to be unfriendly by any means or inaccessible. So if there's anything that you'd like to share with me or talk with me about, if you would just remain in your pews after the announcements, I'll go back, take off my vestments, and then I'll come out and greet you afterwards individually. We're just not going to be congregating in the narthex right now. And then along with that, unfortunately, we are not serving communion today, but a few folks have asked if we're going to be able to have Holy Communion served on Christmas. The answer is we're not sure yet, but we would love to be able to if we can do so safely. And so the elders are going to be meeting tomorrow night. We're going to be discussing this, and we will let you know as soon as we make a decision as to what the future Sundays and what Christmas are going to look like in terms of when communion will be served and things like that. So please, as always, we just thank you for all of your continued patience through all of the changing circumstances we find ourselves in. If you would like to receive the Lord's Supper privately while we're not able to offer it publicly right now, if you would like to receive the Lord's Supper privately, would you please contact the office throughout the week or contact myself personally, and we will set up a time for you to be able to do so. So that's a good segue into saying tomorrow night is meeting night, not just for elders, but for school board as well, so please pay attention to that. Wednesday night, there will be our third and final midweek Advent service, and I will be the one preaching here at home this week. So we've been doing a rotation with a couple other congregations, but I will be the one preaching here in Hoyleton. That is this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Just a quick little note that there is an artificial Christmas tree available that is 7 feet tall to anybody who might want one or need one. So just contact the church office for details on that if you or somebody else you know could use an artificial Christmas tree. Also, looking ahead to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, right now we are limiting our public worship services to 75 people. That might be another thing that could change tomorrow evening. But we've already talked about possibly expanding that for Christmas Eve with some of the elders, just because we've been taking registrations ahead of time. We already have that 6 o'clock Christmas Eve service almost filled. There's still plenty of spots for 8 o'clock Christmas Eve and also 9:30 Christmas morning. And we will consider expanding if we need to. But I just wanted to remind all of you, if you know right now that you're planning to worship in person Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, please sign up. The earlier the better, because that will help us to make plans to accommodate everybody who wants to attend in person. So thank you for doing that ahead of time. And the last thing I wanted to mention is that next Sunday would have been the big children's Christmas program, and we have to do that in a virtual way this year. So I've been working on filming the students and singing with them and all of that stuff. And they've recited their Bible verses and everything. So that is going to be completely finished and put together for next Sunday to air on Facebook, and we're going to put it on the website as well at 4 o'clock in the afternoon next Sunday. So just wanted to be aware of that. That will be when it airs for the first time, but just like all of the videos that we put on Facebook, you can watch them at your convenience. But one of the things that is good about having to do this in a different format is that you will be able to share it maybe with people who never would have been able to come and see it in person. Maybe you have relatives that live far away. You can share the video with them, and they can see all of our kids and the Christmas program that they have provided for you. So again, thanks for your patience on that, but that will be next Sunday at 4 o'clock. Any other announcements? I think those are all the ones I wanted to highlight today. Okay, if not, then I pray that you have a blessed week and that you have a joyful week. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hey Trinity, I'm Adam Tiemann. This is Deb, Ron, Holly. We're coming at you from the famous Deb She Shed. And we're just going to talk about, you know, what 2020 has been like. You know, what do we have anything we can be thankful for? That 2020 has been kind of a challenge for everyone. No one has not been affected by COVID and things of that sort. So as a church, we have dealt with loss of family, loss of friends, A lot of people have dealt with loss of income and the loss of their jobs. We've also have endured COVID. I think when it first came out, at the beginning of the year, we thought it wasn't going to last this long, but here we are, enduring. And then also, we're continuing to endure a very outspoken election, where there have been lines drawn, and people have continued to be very outspoken about that. So, what can we be thankful for? I think...
It's easy to think of all the things we cannot have now.
True.
And that's those things go real fast. But sometimes we need to sit back, and COVID gives us a chance to sit back and do our own thing and think about the things that are important to us. And I think that opportunity is something we need to cash in on.
And also too, the one thing that for me and Deb that has kind of hurt us in a way is we can't be with the youth like we want to, with our high school youth.
I miss you, youth. I miss you.
So it's been different. We see you guys from a distance. It's kind of been a very much, if the weather's nice, we can see you, but if we can't, that's usually how it goes. So we're hoping to hopefully eventually get together, start Sunday school up again, so we can get all of our youth back. But that's kind of how it's affected us in the church, that we can't really be with the youth that we want to be with. But I think we've come up with five things we can be thankful for as a church.
Number five is going to be finances and giving. We have a lot to be thankful for. According to our treasurer, Linda, she says giving has been up this whole year. And right now, there is still a $55,000 debt to pay. But if things proceed like normal giving, then we should be able to pay that off in this month. And we are thankful that that's a good thing. That's number five.
Yeah, so keep giving. Don't stop giving. I mean, we can definitely tell God's working, and people just continue to tithe and be faithful to that. So just keep up the good work. Number four would be volunteers, the people outside the school that are coming in, the ones that are helping with lunches, the ones that are volunteering and giving water, and the various donations to the school, the PTL members that are trying to figure out ways to do things. So basically, number four is all of the outside folks coming in just to try to make our school run as smooth as possible.
And school has been different. I mean, just to get into school now, mm-hmm. you have to have your temperature taken and you have to stop and check in, so to speak. All the kids, big thanks that our school has been able to continue. Even though we've had people that have been put in quarantine, it's all worked out to God's good, God's glory. And awesome that they can see each other and be together and be kids. And even though they wear masks every day, that's normal. You know, this is now their new normal, and they get to be with their friends. And that's huge.
Number three, the volunteers of the church. We got the elders, we got school board, PTL, trustees, Sunday school leaders, the hours and the time it has taken to adapt to this, to make it work, to do the things that we used to do pre-COVID, before 2020.
And so many people don't understand how much there is that changed, that those people have taken on more responsibility and done that, you know, we normal people won't even know. But just to be safe, now safety has taken a different perspective, and how to sit people in a pew, get people in and out of the church,
mm-hmm. how to have communion,
there was a big difference,
how to have weddings, how to have funerals. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that those groups have to deal with. So thank you everyone that I named off for doing that. Continue the good work. So
how about number two? We want to be thankful for our teachers and our staff at school. I mean, and including the Sunday school teachers, of course, too. But the day school teachers have had to take on more responsibility, because at some times they've had in-school learning plus remote school kids that they've had to take care of. And I just can't imagine how much more time that takes just to organize.
So just continue your efforts to provide the best education that you're providing right now. You are the ones that kind of are the outspoken heroes of our school.
Thank you.
The kids are here because they want to see you. You guys are the teachers and the staff of the school. You guys are the heroes.
Kids are awesome.
So just continue to keep up all your work. So you're number two on the list of what we can be thankful for.
So, number one, the number drum roll one. Is, and probably is no surprise,
technology.
Ta-da!
The ability to connect virtually when we can't connect in person. I don't know about you guys, I would miss Pastor if I couldn't see him on the camera. So the ability to have the people who donated the money to have to get the cameras
and the right equipment,
yeah,
and just figuring that out.
Yeah, the people who were smart enough,
yes,
to figure it out. Because pre-live stream, we had to film it, then you had to edit it, then you had to redo it again, make sure it was right, post it, and hopefully it works right. So,
and I just can't imagine because I just have enough trouble trying to get it onto my television.
Yeah. So you know who you are out there—the ones that have put in the time and the effort for that. So we thank you for that. There's a big thanks for that. So number one was technology, and like I said, it's.
Let's throw in Pastor's creativity with this.
That is very true.
Because I think he's shined through some of this.
He did a pretty good job, I think.
I think he's just very, very. Photogenic.
Maybe. I think so too.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But we don't want to forget about his time and effort he's put into it too.
And all these people that have spent extra hours and extra time. We have, Trinity Hoyleton has a huge amount of stuff to be thankful for.
And to go into that, this, the phrase I always think of when I think of Hoyleton is, it takes a village. So this is our village, this is our town, this is our church, this is our area. We are just thankful for everyone that has stepped up to the cause and that continue to work, not only work your jobs you normally work, but then to do your church work.
And we want to say thank you. This is about giving, and we ask that you continue to give as you have in the past, wrap up this year in clearing out our debt, and and always give God the glory.
So I challenge you, everyone out there who's seeing this, think of something you can be thankful for, because there is a lot you could be that gets you down that you can think of that this year is terrible. But let's look forward to 2021.
We are blessed to have you join us for worship today. Please join us again next Sunday.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.